my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Everyone, welcome to episode 221 of my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast, and this is the Valentine's Day episode. Sam Hunter of Stride Pro Wrestling, he is the general manager. He and I sit down and do an Our 6 Cents on our six favorite wrestling couples of all time. And I say all time because I step in the Wayback Machine, especially with Sam, as he reveals is much younger than me during the course of this particular episode. So be sure to tune in. He had some interesting choices. And the funny thing about the whole show is that we only had one that matched up. So it's very interesting look at some of wrestling's best couples, our favorite couples. It's, of course, an opinionated, very subjective look at the couples in pro wrestling. We also talk about Stride Pro Wrestling, which coming off of the Stride Cup tournament, the opening first two rounds and actually setting up for the finals, which will be happening on Saturday, March 2nd. And I should mention that it's going to be, because we didn't talk about it in the episode that it's going to air, all the other matches for Stride, Strideversary, the three-year anniversary show, will be discussed during the course of this episode. However, King Chris Hargis will battle Warbound Bo Sawyer, who has made his return to Stride. He will be taking on the King in the finals of the Stride Cup tournament. I'm excited. I'm really excited about our three-year anniversary show. We talk more about that again during the course of this show. I would be remiss if I didn't mention, it's the Valentine's Day episode, so I really have to mention it since we are talking about wrestling couples. Tony Flood, the former two-time Stride Pro Wrestling heavyweight champion, proposed to his girlfriend Macy in the middle of the ring, and she said yes. So congratulations to Tony and Macy. It was great to see that kind of play out in front of all the fans as well, and you know, I know that they're going to have a long, happy life together, and I am glad that they chose to, or at least Tony chose to, share that with all of us at Stride. It was a very nice moment, kind of breaking up some of the violence going on. Of course, Heath Hatton came out, though, and interrupted the celebration of sorts. They, of course, will be taking each other on in a 60-minute Iron Man matchup. Not a 60-man, as I implied during the course of the evening at Stride. However, yeah, I screwed that up pretty good. So, but, yeah, wrestling, love, brother love, Greg the Hammer Valentine, Jimmy Hart, Bret Hart, they all come to mind when you think of Valentine's Day in wrestling. But hopefully the six couples, or I guess technically speaking, we discuss 11 couples during the course of this episode, so be sure to check it out. Thanks again, and while you're here, check out the other shows on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, including the Five Heart Podcast with Greg Mahochko. He is also the co-host of Nerds United, and then my buddy Chad Smart on the other side of the country hosts Positive Cynicism, and each week, he has a different co-host and a different topic that they tackle. Some good information, good content coming out from all of the shows here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. Proud to be a part of this, and encourage you to also check out jitterymonkey.com/shop. I do have a t-shirt design in the works that Farmer Billy Hills has helped me, or has made. I had the idea, and then he is executing it. It's one that can't go on the Pro Wrestling Tees store, so I'm not going to be selling it there, but I will be selling it at Stride shows, as well as on the shop store on jitterymonkey.com. So be sure to check that out. It is a spoof, if you will, of the Bullet Club. They're not allowing Bullet Club spoofs on Pro Wrestling Tees. So you can go to prowrestlingtees.com/my123cents still and get a Mondo the Monkey shirt or a Stride Pro Wrestling shirt. And I'm going to come up with another design or two to put in the My123cents store over at Pro Wrestling Tees. And since we're plugging things, I might as well also throw it out there that go to collarandelbowbrand.com and shop Collar and Elbow and use the promo code My123cents. You'll save 10% on each order. They have some great shirts and designs too. So be sure again to check it all out. Support the podcast here. It's enabled me to upgrade a little bit and get some equipment here, and hopefully, you know, we'll make some more improvements along the way. But in the meantime, stick around because, as we talked about, the main event, if you will, Pro Wrestling Couples. Stick around and be sure to let me know too over on social media, whether it's the My123cents Facebook, Twitter, Instagram pages, or my personal accounts at Kevin Huntsberger. Let me know, who are your favorite wrestling couples?
Big match at my house.
I'll bring my guys. You have yours.
I've got Junkyard Dog.
It's World Wrestling Federation Superstars.
I've got Brutus Beefcake.
Here's Jordan and Steel.
I've got Great Hammer Valentine.
Ricky the Dragon Steel. Yeah.
They're so real.
And Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Can you tell the difference? Wrestling Superstars, they're for real.
Hey everyone, thanks again for listening, and as promised, Sam Hunter, the general manager of Stride Pro Wrestling, joins the show this week, and you're going to hear doors opening, you're going to hear bouncing around in the ring, because we are literally at the Stride Pro Wrestling Arena, because we are just hours away from another great show. And Sam, welcome back to the show, but also Strideiversary coming up on March 2nd, another big night for Stride Pro Wrestling.
Absolutely. First of all, thank you to the hardest working man in the business, Mr. Kevin Huntsberger. Strideiversary is something that I am very proud to say that we will be doing on March 2nd, 2019. And, you know, it's crazy to think that, you know, 3 years ago, back at the Marion Mall, this all started.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about the history, because you, of course, were you've been here since day one. You were announced as the general manager of Stride Pro Wrestling, set up that great fatal four-way match to decide the first Stride Pro Wrestling champion, which ended up being Axe Allwork. You've seen a lot of guys come and go in this company. Do you have any special memory, any highlight to you that kind of stands out over the last 3 years?
There's been a lot of great highlights over the last 3 years that we've done. Some of the best moments that come to mind to me, number one, back in our first year when we were in West Frankfurt for what we dubbed the Red Bird Rumble. Mm. I enjoyed that show, and still in my mind, that's one of the best shows that we did. When you continue to look forward, Locker Room Melee that we did up in Pinckneyville. Awesome show. Those guys that were in the ring that night really busted their butts to provide great entertainment for everybody in Pinckneyville. Got a little crazy at the end, but, you know, it's Melee, so what do you expect?
Yeah.
And, you know, the best thing about it, Kevin, is that as every year goes by, you know, we see people come, we see people go, we see people come back, but the thing about it is it's basically been a central circle that has not been broken of people that are on our roster and have been on our roster since day one. I know that we have a lot of the trainees, and the thing about that is, too, that they're finally coming up and they're building their own name. But those are guys that we've seen at the shows, you know, as far back as then.
Mm-hmm. So, absolutely.
So it's like the family never left.
And it's not only the guys in the ring, it's the fans in the crowd. We see a lot of familiar faces, a lot of the same folks coming back week after week, month after month. But we're drawing in that new crowd as well. And with this card that you have set up, a 60-man Ironman match in the main event for the Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Championship, I don't think we've ever seen anything quite like that.
No, we haven't. And sometimes when you have extreme situations in the squared circle, you know, when things have happened, you have to go to extreme measures to make sure that there is a final resolution and the people can walk away happy, because we will have an undisputed champion that night.
That's right. It's going to be Heath Hatton and Tony Flood. That championship has been vacant since January. Another match I'm looking forward to, a dog collar match between the Legacy Champion, Cash Borden, and Jay Spade. Dog collar match. Again, when I think of dog collar match, I go all the way back to 1983, Starrcade 83, Greg the Hammer Valentine versus Rowdy Roddy Piper in a dog collar match. This is going to be brutal.
Well, if you want to go back all the way to 1983 in Starrcade, that was a Flair for the Gold, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
And, you know, dog collar matches are brutal. They can be violent. But sometimes when you have two guys that have such a catastrophic issue between the two of them, you have to come up with a way for them to settle it. And just, you know, if it means beating the crap out of each other and, you know, blood and guts, sometimes you just got to have that to end an issue.
Absolutely. The tag team titles will be defended as Dexter Roswell and Mr. Anthony, the new Stride Pro Wrestling Tag Team Champs, take on the former champs, Farmer Billy Hills and Scott Phoenix. Farmer had some strong words when they lost the belts. He wanted that rematch clause invoked, and it's going to happen.
Absolutely. You know, the thing about it is it's like, okay, guys, I realize that you want your rematch. And, you know, if you had your way about it, you would have it right now. But, you know, there are contractual obligations that I have to go through. And more importantly than that, you know, despite how I feel personally about any given person on our roster, my job is not only to do what the people want and give them the great show, but my responsibility is to these guys and to make sure they're healthy and safe in a time to compete. And so if you've got to wait, you've got to wait. But, you know, I'm a man of my word. I've always been. And if you want something from me, and if you're more than likely going to get it, and these guys are going to get their rematch.
And something that you talk about having issues, Jay Wellington Beauregard, manager here in Stride. He's the manager of the King, Chris Hargis. The two of you have had crosswords for each other since day one here in Stride, and his former charge, Axe Allwirt, is finally getting his hands on him in the ring after more than a year of getting screwed over time after time by Wellington Beauregard. So that match is going to be huge, I think, for a lot of fans here.
It really is. And, you know, the thing about it is, as I've always said, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And, you know, if you go back to the early days of Stride, you know, me and Axe didn't always have the nicest things to say about each other. You know, I at times have a very hot-headed personality, and you can tell I mean business when I grab the stick, and I'm very profusely yelling to where I wouldn't need to be on the stick. But if I'm yelling into that stick, Axe has done that to me a couple times in the past. But it's like I said, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and I just look forward to him finally getting the one-uppance that he deserves.
Well, also that night, the Stride Cup champion, or the Stride Cup winner, will be determined, becoming the number one contender to the Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Championship. Wraith takes on Riser. These are two former friends, and we're going to have Joey O'Reilly versus Jason Tiller to decide the legacy contender, number one contender as well. So it's going to be a great show again. It's coming up on Saturday, March 2nd. We're moving into Marion this time, 600 North Carbon Street in Marion, Illinois. So be sure to check it out, strideprowrestling.com. We'll talk more about it here on the podcast as well as on the Stride Pro Wrestling and My 123 Cents social media. But we're also here because it is Valentine's week. We're talking love and couples and, you know, our favorites. we'll let Sam sing here.
Power love is a curious thing. Make one man weak, make another man sing.
So we won't sing anymore, I promise. But Sam, usually how I do these shows, it's a top six. We count back from our sixth favorite. I don't know if you have a list, if you have something in your head that you're going to talk about, but do you have, who would you rank as your sixth favorite? And we're talking favorites, not necessarily best or whatever, but this is just kind of those couples in wrestling that entertained us.
And Heath Hatton's the best.
Yes, Heath Hatton is the best. And, you know, we could be the number one couple in wrestling, but he won't call me back. But so, Sam, who's on your list?
Well, first and foremost of all, he won't call me back either, and I'm the guy that's signing the check, so what's going on around here? When it comes to my list, you know, it's just one of the things that I've always really enjoyed about pro wrestling is, you know, I enjoy the athleticism of it, of course, but the one thing that has always drove me in is the story-driven aspects. And it's like, okay, we have to get to point C, but here's point A and here's point B, and this is why these guys are duking it out and everything. And one of my favorites, it kind of goes on the darker side a little bit, but the whole Lita, Kane, and Snitsky drama from way back, you you know, that had more of a darker undertone to it, but, you know, when it comes to story, you know, that's story.
Yeah. That was a time in wrestling that they were kind of, Attitude Era was obviously over, but they were still, they were trying to recapture some of that energy, I think, from that time. So that was when Snitsky punted the baby doll into the crowd, right?
Absolutely. And you have to remember, it wasn't his fault.
No, it was not his fault. Well, Sam, I'm kind of in the same vein when you talk about the stories and, you know, getting to that point A to point B. And the culmination of this one, this angle, was my number six favorite couple. And it's unconventional, and I know some people may turn the podcast off after this, but that's Chuck and Billy. I loved the story that they told, the way they built things up, getting to that wedding where, okay, Chuck and, wait, what's going on here? What's going on here? And Eric Bischoff in the disguise threw a lot of people off. And then the introduction or the emergence of 3-minute warning. You know, Billy Gunn to me is one of the all-time great tag team wrestlers. I enjoyed him, obviously, with the Road Dogg as the New Age Outlaws. Chuck and Billy I thought was great. Smoking Gun's okay, but there was just something about that angle with Chuck and Billy that just really... it was good storytelling. It got national attention. It got, you know, widespread mainstream media attention too. And then there, you know, there were people that were upset when they found out it was just an angle. But to me, it kind of put a spotlight on WWE at a time where they could have used a little publicity, I think, a little positive publicity.
That was back, I believe it was 2001. It was right after, well, it might have been 2002. I'm sorry. But it was right after the brand split initially had started.
Yeah.
And I think within itself, it was great advertising for that because, you know, at that point in time, WWE had two distinctive rosters. There was no cross promoting of those rosters. And anything that you can do to get eyeballs on your product to where you can continue to advertise your product before it, afterwards, or during it, is going to be something that's going to draw people in because, you know, they could have, during that whole thing, they could have announced, well, Brock Lesnar's going to be defending his belt against so-and-so at this point in the night. And, you know, if they would really drive that point home, it'd be like, man, I want to tune in. I want to see Brock Lesnar after this.
Yeah, absolutely. So who else, what other couples are on your list? What would your number five be, per se?
Well, you never got to see them really interact with each other inside of the ring, but the thing about it was, is they both ended up were really charismatic and great people, and so I would think of Eddie and Vicky Guerrero for sure.
Oh, very good choice, very good choice. You're right. There wasn't a whole lot with them, but Eddie obviously gone way too soon, and Vicky kind of came to prominence after he passed away, but what a great couple they were.
Yes, absolutely, and it's just, I even think, you know, and it's, you know, it's tragic to say, but I even think that, you know, Eddie's death brought a little bit more charisma out of her and put her more into that role and be more accepting of that role. And the thing about it is in professional wrestling, unless you have a great heel to go against your great baby face, nobody's going to remember what you do. And Vicky Guerrero, for the longest time, was the ultimate heel.
Absolutely, she was. That woman you love to hate. I'm going to say my number five, I'm going to a couple, and this may be a spoiler for later on my down the road here, but for me it was... Wow, okay, that was loud. Shawn Michaels and Sensational Sherry. She had been with Macho Man, she had been with the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, and then when Shawn broke away from Marty Jannetty, he needed something to stand out and put him over the top. Sherry, that prolific manager, she brought the best out in the heels that she managed, and to me, they were a great couple, and, you know, it's her voice that is still on Shawn's theme song that we hear to this day, 25, 26, 27, 8 years later.
Absolutely. And the thing about Sherry was as well, Sherry had been in the business a long time up to that point. And one thing about it is when you have superstars, you know, professional wrestlers, whatever you want to call them in 2019, people who are going out there and are trying to get to that next level, no matter what role they're in, if they have a veteran to work with, you know, whether it's in the ring or you have a veteran manager who will stick up for you against, you know, the back, you know, and won't take no crap off of them. you know, that can put you over to him. It will definitely help your career. And Sherry being with Sean in that aspect helped him a lot. And I don't believe he would have gotten to that next level if it wasn't for her.
Very well point. Very good point, Sam. I'm going to let you announce your number three as I go shut the door and maybe cut off a little bit of the noise as the guys are getting ready for tonight's big Stride Cup tournament. Hold on 1 second. You go ahead and announce your number three.
Well, while we wait for the glorious Kevin Huntsberger to come back, once again, I would like to remind you that Strideversary, March the 2nd, 2019 in Marion. And now that Kevin's back, if we're going to go, if we're going to continue on, we were up to what, number three or four?
This will be number three because you talked about Lita and Kane and then Eddie and
okay, number three for me, just because of the comedic factor of it. Number four, I'm sorry. Three, four, we'll get it right here in a minute, folks. Number four, Daniel Bryan and the Bella Twins.
Nice choice. There's something, and I want to hear your explanation, because there is something, and I guess you're talking the pre-Bella Twins, Total Diva stuff when they were working that angle with them, but there's just something about the Bella Twins I just am not 100% on board with. But talk to me a little bit about why you rank these on your number four.
Comedic value, because yeah. It was basically, you know, Daniel Bryan, he's a very nice, very good guy. Not, you know, maybe the most attractive with the scraggly beard, the hair looking like he just rolled out of the dumpster. And he still had that look per se going on at the time. And you have these two very beautiful women, no matter if we think they have talent or not, to say. But you have these two very beautiful women who are sisters fighting over the same guy, and it just makes for great drama.
Well, and you know, I think back then, I don't think anybody expected, because this was before Brie and Daniel were dating, I believe, who would have ever thought that they would end up together as man and wife?
Yeah, it definitely was a shocker, and who knows, you know. One of the things about doing, when you do anything with somebody, like in an acting role, professional wrestling role, you know, your on-screen performance can trail over into real life.
Yeah.
And who's to say that that didn't happen?
Absolutely. And my number four is a real-life wrestling couple, and that is The Miz and Maryse. And when she came back, to me, they really kind of turned things up when she came back after when The Miz was wrestling Zack Ryder for the Intercontinental title after WrestleMania 32 in Dallas. My buddy Chad and I were actually there, and she came out and distracted Zack. But to me, kind of tying it back into Daniel Bryan, or at least the Bellas, and that's when they were mocking John Cena and Nikki Bella. Those skits that they did, I thought were amazing, and it just kind of put the exclamation point. And they are obviously a legit couple. They've had a child together recently. Maryse is still around, not as much as she used to be, but I think her and Miz together, I think she kind of reinvigorated. We talked about Sherry and Sean. I think when Maryse came back, she came back at a time where the Miz was kind of, he's here, he's good, but he's here. But she kind of, I think, brought something back out in him, and to me, made him another one of those guys that I fondly like to watch.
You know, one of the things about it is it's like, you know, a lot of people will tell you, if you go into a field that you love, you will never work a day in your life. That is absolutely wrong, because I don't care what you do, you may love it, but you will eventually have one of those days to where it's like, man, I just really don't want to do this today or tomorrow. Yeah. And you know, and when you talk about that, you know, most of the time when you have days like that, it doesn't matter if you're in the office or in a wrestling ring, you're just going to phone it in.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you can obviously tell when you phone it in. I've had times where I've been here and I just have phoned it in, and I know all of us have.
Sure.
And, you know, it's not that we don't love it, but sometimes we lack the motivation.
Yeah.
And when we can find something that puts the motivation back, another way to put it is like the fire in your eyes, you know.
Yeah.
When you can find that motivation to pick yourself up and want to do better and give a better performance no matter what you're doing, it's great.
So Dalton Anthony's showing ass in here.
Welcome.
Just letting everybody know. Who would you put then as your number three?
Diamond Dallas and Kimberly Page.
And they were a legit couple there for a while too.
Yes. You know, WCW, WCW was built mainly off what the WWF did 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Except when you come to people like Bill Goldberg and Diamond Dallas Page.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says about DDP. DDP was the hardest worker in the room.
Absolutely.
And more importantly than that, he busted his butt time and time again. And I'm trying to think of the right way to put this. And he was one of those guys, you know, he was around in the AWA, and he did, like, a WrestleMania appearance where he drove the Honky Tonk Man in his pink Cadillac. But that dude was WCW through and through. And one of the greatest things that you can do in wrestling is if you can take real life, put it into an angle, you know. People give a better level of performance when there's real life aspects in what you were doing. I mean, if you go back to the feud between Diamond Dallas Page and the Macho Man Randy Savage, you would have those segments on Monday Nitro where the Macho Man would have a adult magazine that somebody was in and was, you know, showing that off to the crowd and everything else. And you know, it's those story elements that combust and bring out the best in people.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's been well documented and talked about that, you know, that feud with Savage is kind of what, you know, DDP, as you said, hardest working guy out there, busted his ass, came up through the ranks, was older when he got, you know, that in-ring debut. But you can't argue the dedication that he put into it to get to where he was. And then, you know, Savage kind of, I think, put that exclamation point on him. And it was like that rocket had been strapped to his back and he just went to the stratosphere with it.
When you have two giant explosive elements, one may not be as big as the other, but when the two of them collide, it's going to give off this gigantic spark. And for Dallas Page, that was the spark that built his career.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like DDP said himself, he owes a lot of his career to Randy Savage because Randy didn't have to. He put him over in a big way.
Yeah. Well, you know, with my number three, I'm going old school. I'm going way back to the mid-80s. And probably my first wrestling crush was Missy Hyatt. And she had many guys that she managed, and one that she ended up in a relationship with behind the scenes and actually marrying, and that was Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert. And I can still remember buying a wrestling magazine where they're in it, and it's their wedding and, you know, a photo shoot. And I just really wish, I know Missy went to the WWF in 87 after Rowdy Piper retired. She did Missy's Manor. It was a talk show segment. I saw the clips on YouTube. No disrespect to Missy. It just was not obviously what Piper's pit was. And for some reason, you know, back then, Eddie was a little guy. Vince wasn't into little guys at the time, so he never really got his shot there. But, you know, in the UWF, the NWA, that couple, they were the power couple. She was that woman that, you know, all the guys wanted and all the women hated. And he was, you know, as he introduced himself, he was every man's, what was it, every man's nightmare, every woman's dream, or something along those lines. So Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert, another one of those performers gone way too soon. And Sam, I know you're quite a bit younger than me. I don't know how far back you go, but I don't know if you remember Hot Stuff and Hyatt International.
I don't remember it because, let's be honest here, you're talking about 86, 87, correct?
Yeah.
I was born on October 10th, 1984.
Ugh, God, I feel really old right now.
So my memories as a 2 and 3 year old were not very formidable yet.
Yeah.
But I remember Missy Hyatt in the 90s from WCW, and you know, she was a great talent. She had some very nice assets, and she was a great talent because of them.
Yes.
But, you know, regardless of that, you know, she had a lot of charisma and a lot of ability to go out there and perform in front of people. And it doesn't matter where charisma comes from, but if you have charisma, you know, that's the it factor.
Right, absolutely. Must capitalize on it. So, and, you know, as you mentioned, her run in WCW, she was with the Nasty Boys. I think she managed the Steiners for a brief period. So she had those other men in her stable, if you will. But, yeah, just to me, one of those talents that I really enjoyed a lot. I don't know why everybody keeps coming out here and giving us certain hand gestures. You're like the third one to do that. I'm not going to call you out by name, but thanks for keeping it in your pants. Ed. Get out of here, Ed. So, Ed, besides the guy that just came out here and gave us that motion, what would you put as your number two couple?
Oh, man. I'm going to take this back a little bit, and this was an on-screen at the time, but many years later it turned into a real life. Let's go back to when Ric Flair first came back to WCW.
Oh, nice.
After his run in the WWF, you know, a Flair for the gold.
Yeah.
Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, and the Maid Fifi.
Yeah, I completely forgot about those two. Yes, that was a great, great combination.
And you know, it was at the time Flair couldn't work for a period of time when he came back to WCW due to contractual obligations with the WWF. But the one thing about Ric Flair, well, there's a couple things about Ric Flair. If you've seen a Ric Flair match, you've seen a Ric Flair match, but it's still incredible every time because the formula's changed just enough to where it comes off phenomenal.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, if you give Ric Flair a microphone and hear her talk, run this broomstick down.
Yeah.
Five-star promo every...
Yeah.
And, I mean, you put him in an interview segment. Arn Anderson always had an underrated sense of charisma, and I don't think, in general, people give Arn Anderson enough credit for his contributions to the business.
Yeah.
And it was just great. I mean, they interviewed, like, Dustin Rhodes and so many people that came through there. Flair did such a good job of putting over talent that necessarily couldn't put themselves over with his charisma on the microphone.
And it's funny that you bring up Dustin Rhodes, because my number two couple is Goldust and Marlena. And, you know, when Dustin left WCW in 1995 and came into the WWF, this was still back in a time where I was buying the aftermags. So, you know, I would see those, and the internet was in its infancy. I was on some message boards and saw the rumors that he was coming in and he was going to be this androgynous character. And then when they eventually brought his wife, Terry Runnels, in, who, by the way, was a guest on this podcast for the one-year anniversary episode, but she tells the story about how she came to be and how the couple came to be. She was, of course, Alexander York in WCW. But
York Foundation.
I think they worked so well together because they were a couple. And like you said, that chemistry just kind of becomes natural. And they were just great together. And I just loved the character as he was and how he was so... you know, this was obviously pre-Attitude Era, so they were doing things with them that we eventually saw a few years later, but I still maintain that they were kind of the precursor to that whole Attitude Era.
Goldust was the Attitude Era before the Attitude Era was formed. I mean, you look at some of the things that Goldust did, especially when he won the Intercontinental title, the match with Razor and the promo setting up to Razor.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, you... Let's be honest, 1996, 1997, around this period, was a time to where what you see in culture today was not there in 1996. You know, I think one of the greatest advancements of human society is our levels of acceptance and tolerance towards people wanting to be themselves, loving themselves for who they are. And, you know, if television plays a role in that, you could look at the Goldust character as somebody who was very androgynous along that line, but brought more of an acceptance into American society of what things were, and it's okay. You know, it taught people acceptance and tolerance. And, you know, it's like I said, with, you know, Goldust with the Razor tattoo on his chest and everything else. And then, you know, Goldust lost the Intercontinental title to Ahmed Johnson at King of the Ring 1996, and the angle setting up to that, to where you have this this white guy in sparkly gold makeup kissing this almost 300-pound African-American gentleman, and the African-American gentleman engaging in... A very hostile rage was great television.
Yeah, he did not enjoy that at all. And I think, again, that, you know, adding Marlena to that character was the right move, obviously. And when she debuted, of course, it was at the 96 Rumble when he won the title from Ramon. She's smoking the cigar. She just kind of, you know, the gold dress. It just all worked so very well together.
And of course, one of the memories I laugh about. You remember Shotgun Saturday Night?
Uh huh. Yeah.
You know, WWF was trying to have more edgy programming, and so they would put it on syndicated television on Saturday nights. And I guess you just don't get more edgy than, you know, a manager or valet flashing your husband's opponents.
Yeah, that's right. That is right. And I have a feeling our number ones are the same. And kind of when you talk about flashing, it brings back a memory too. But who is your number one? We'll see if we're on the same page.
Elizabeth! Elizabeth, oh yeah, the Macho Man, Randy Savage, and Miss Elizabeth for sure, my brother.
Absolutely, my number one as well. Obviously, coming in together as a couple, you know, Savage came into the WWF in late 85, and all the managers, I remember all the managers standing on the stage, and they were trying to get his services, and he announced that he had a manager, and of course, it's Elizabeth. And this was the first time a woman had such a role in the WWF, so it was kind of a milestone of sorts for that. And then, you know, obviously it was kind of the Beauty and the Beast where he's, you know, mean and to her, but if anyone else tries to touch her, you know, he is quick to defend her honor.
And that's usually the way it is when you are a man, you know. I don't know if we want to use the term toxic masculinity or not, by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, it's one of those, you know, as a guy, you know, you want to protect your girl.
Yeah.
And everything else. And you don't care if you look like a bad guy because of it. And it's your job, basically, to do that. And, you know, it always was a situation with Mach and Liz to where, you know, he would do that, but, you know, she would still come off as, you know, the baby face.
Yeah.
And he would be the heel no matter what through it. And in the build-up, you know, even to WrestleMania 3, George the Animal Steel and mm-hmm. everything that went on with that, you know. When people talk about that match at WrestleMania 3, still to this day, without a shadow of doubt, the number one match that there ever was at WrestleMania. And you can quote me on that. But the story to get there, and, you know, everything with George the Animal Steel, Ricky Steamboat, you know, it takes more than what's in the ring to give a cause and effect for you to want to see something.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just an explosion of everything at the time that you would want to see.
And the interesting thing, you know, later that year when Savage turns face against the Honky Tonk Man, and, you know, Honky Tonk Man shoves Elizabeth, she goes to the back, brings out Hulk Hogan, and then we set up the Mega Powers. You know, it was one of those rare instances where you saw a wrestler turn face where the manager followed suit. And as you mentioned, I mean, she was obviously always kind of the face in that relationship, but they stuck together through and through. And for me, you know, the Mega Powers explosion and the buildup to all that, one of the greatest storylines in the history of pro wrestling, I think.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, the formula was always that, you know, Hulk Hogan would have the bad guy to face. But in that situation where the bad guy is your best former friend, you know, and the, you know, Macho Man, of course, was accusing Hogan of everything that he thought Hogan was doing with Elizabeth. And it just created probably, arguably, the best 1980s storyline
yeah.
in wrestling.
And then, you know, of course, after they split, Elizabeth goes away for a bit. She comes back in a few minor roles. But in 1991, Warrior versus Savage, which is my favorite WrestleMania match of all time, partly because of how it ends with the storyline, they pan to Liz in the crowd. She's a few rows back, but as Sensational Queen Sherry is putting the boots to the Macho King after the match, he's lost. He has to retire, which means Sherry's now out of a job, allegedly. Then we see Liz run back to the ring and fling Sherry around. And I feel like a mark saying this. I'm getting goosebumps talking about it now just because I remember that visual and seeing that and, you know, that love. And we knew, some of us knew, they were already really married in real life. But then this led to their real life wedding, which unfortunately led to their real life demise as a couple as well. But those moments like that were just one of the things that kind of solidified them as wrestling's power couple.
You get those goosebumps because it was real.
Yeah.
And when it's real, you feel it beyond, you know, anything. And when you have those moments in anything, you know, it's a great feeling, you know, no matter if it's in your own life or you're living vicariously through someone on television, you know, when you have those moments that you feel it's real, it's just awesome.
Yeah, again, such a great couple. Is there anything else that you want to say about Macho Man and Liz? I mean, obviously they were together off and on through the rest of their WWF tenure, and then of course going to WCW, where they were paired up a few times but also kind of against each other. But again, just wrestling's power couple, I think, for sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it was always funny, you know, to think about, because when you think of the two of the pivotal stories for Randy Savage in the WWF, we talk about WrestleMania 5, the Mega Powers Explode, but we don't talk enough about WrestleMania 8, mm-hmm. I believe, you know, when you go back to Ric Flair versus Randy Savage for the WWF Championship and the night that Savage won his second championship, and the story where Ric Flair was supposedly with Liz.
I had her first, woo!
And all those doctored images. And, you know, that created a good story, because it's like, man, this guy's trying to take this guy's girl and everything. You just want to see that guy, you know, beat the crap out of that other guy so bad because he tried to make her look bad.
Yeah, absolutely. And Savage, of course, Flair got his comeuppance against Savage in that whole situation. Well, Sam, I appreciate you spending some time here. I know it's a busy night. Stride Pro Wrestling, of course, happening, and Stridiversary. Anything else you want to add about Stridiversary before we get to that show on March 2nd?
I just want to say a quick word of thank you to, you know, each and every one of these fans that come here show after show, month after month, time after time. You know, the thing about it is, Kevin, is we love what we do here, but if we don't have an audience to perform in front of, you know, we don't have that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, sure, it's independent pro wrestling, but at the end of the day, independent pro wrestling is still a business.
Yeah.
And in order for your business to thrive, you have to have people that want to be a part of it, want to participate in it. And the bottom line is, without these people that come through the doors all the time, we don't have that. And so we've been doing this, like I said, for almost 3 years now. It is great to see the same faces time after time. It's always great to see new faces. And I just want to send a very special thank you to everybody that comes through our doors, because without you guys, nothing.
Absolutely. I completely echo Sam's sentiments. We invite you again to come out on Saturday night, March 2nd, for Stridiversary. All the details on StrideProWrestling.com. Everyone, thanks so much for listening. Have a great week, and happy Valentine's Day.
He's so sexy, he's got the look. This rides the girl's wife, got the moves that really move me. He sends chills up and down my spine. He's just my sexy boy. He's not your boy's toy. He makes me shiver. My knees get weak when he comes around. I see him walk, I hear him talk. He makes me feel like I'm on cloud nine. He's just my sexy boy. He's not your boy's toy. He's just my sexy boy. He's not your boy's toy. Get your heart out, girl. Hands off of the merchandise. He's my sexy boy. He's not your boy's toy. He's just my sexy boy. He's not your boy's toy. He makes me hot, he makes me shiver. My knees get weak when he comes around. I see him walk, I hear him talk. He makes me feel like I'm on cloud nine. He's just my sexy boy. He's not your boy toy. He's just my sexy boy. Your boy's toy.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.